It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
So I'm curious about something as we welcome Eno in. We had Kyle Higashioka in studio earlier this week. Two days ago. And he hit a home run that night.
He did.
Now, Eno talks to a lot of players. We always worry that when we talk to someone that if they have a bad night, they're going to like associate it with us and they're going to blame us.
Right.
Eno, do you ever worry about that? Because you just talked to Logan Webb and he went out and had a really bad game yesterday for the San Francisco Giants.
Guy probably should have been focused on pitching and not showing your kid pitching grips, you know. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think about it sometimes. One thing that I'm blessed with is I don't go into the clubhouse after the game. And the reason I say that I'm blessed not to do that is that if they've had a bad game, they don't look across
See
the mic at me.
Yes. Very good point.
Good call.
Very.
So I think for the most time, I think that they talk to so many people that they forget. But I do wonder, like, if I do like a big piece that's about like why they've gotten better or whatever,
yes,
and then they go through a bad stretch. The reason though that is always going to happen is that you're going to write about the players that are playing the best.
Yeah,
and there's just natural, you know, baseball is just naturally there's regression all the time.
It's only
like
one way to
the
go.
The Astros were terrible, and then they were great. They were the best in baseball in June. You know, it's like it's just always like that. So if you write about somebody right when they're doing their best, because that's when they're most interesting, of course they're gonna have some hard times after that.
It does always feel like a jinx, you know, too, because I was in here a couple of days ago and we had Tim Flannery in. He told a couple hours of stories that were just brilliant about some of those old Giants teams that you know very well. And I asked him, you know, do you believe? And he goes, oh yeah, I believe in this team. And I'm like, bro, me too. They deserve a shot, man. They deserve to go out and get a starter and a bullpen, maybe another bat, whatever they need. This team has really earned it. And then, you know, a couple of clunkers in a row. Driving into work this morning going, I wonder what we could get for Dylan Cease. You know what I mean? It's just the stupid nature of a baseball season.
Yeah, but they are a decent team, and I like that they make so much contact, and I think what it hides, though, on offense is that they do way better when they hit their power as well. I think, was it last night, they had six singles or something?
Yeah, seven hits, six singles, I think. I think that's right.
Yeah, and it's just hard to live like that. I know, I love Mud, and I love the announcers, but I hear this from other people that, like, you know, a hit is a hit, and, you know, just get on base and you can string together hits. It's just really hard to string together hits in today's environment. You just think about the batting average now is the worst it's been since, like, 1968, the year of the pitcher. So you get six singles, you get zero runs for it, you know? It's like it is pretty hard, actually, to string together a bunch of singles. And so, you know, that's why I think, you know, Manny getting right and he's looked better, and Tatis coming back, that's enough where you're like, okay, this offense is going to get going.
Eno Saris is with us. Yesterday, Eno, you and a couple of your colleagues from The Athletic posted a story about the 10th anniversary of StatCast, the birth of what has become, at least for me, an integral part of watching baseball. I mean, I can't even imagine now watching a Padres game without going and checking the exit velocity of that last hit and, you know, who's throwing hard, the speeds and velocities. How has the game changed based on this information that is now not just available to the, you know, the teams that have advanced metrics, but now everybody can go and see these numbers, and they're posted right instantly online during every single game. You can follow along just like I was doing last night with the Padres Mariners game.
Yeah, for that piece, I talked to Mike Petriello, who did like an alternate StatCast edition of games early on, where he, you know, they broadcast with Eduardo Perez, and they had David Cohn on sometimes, and you know, Jason Benetti, and they would do these games where it was like more statty focused. And he said, you know, that's coming back, and we're going to do something this year, and I'm nervous because now every broadcast has this stuff in it. And the regular Sunday night baseball has Eduardo Perez and David Cohn. And they took our producer that was producing the StatCast, and they just made him the producer of the Sunday night baseball. So it's like, that's how ubiquitous it has become, is that, like, now the guy who used to be the nerd on, you know, doing the Nerdcast, has to figure out how to become even nerdier. And I think that actually is a good way to kind of think about how it's changed the game. The nerdiness level has, like, gone through the roof. And, you know, even if someone says to me, like, I don't care about this sort of stuff, I talked to Tyler Glass now, and he was like, yes, I look at it. I look at the movement. I look at everything. I look at other people's stuff. I care about it. It's helped me in my career. And then James Paxton, sitting right next to him, said, I can look at a pitch and know if it's good. But even James Paxton knows about, like, naming conventions for movement. He knows about inverted vertical break. He just, wow, he's decided he doesn't care about it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's come to the point where everybody knows this stuff. It's everywhere. And I think the more successful players embrace it and use it to their benefit. J.D. Martinez just joined the Mets, and when he arrived, he changed the way the hitting reports were coming through from the hitting coach after a couple weeks. And he literally brought weighted bats to the team and distributed them to other players and showed them how to use them. And so, you know, that's the kind of, there are these ambassadors that know even more than the average player and are sort of proselytizing the data, you know?
You know, it's funny, thinking about J.D. Martinez, who was somebody we talked about in the offseason. Certainly the Padres were probably interested, along with a bunch of other teams, coming in. And, I mean, if you're the hitting coach of the New York Mets, isn't that Eric Chavez?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, all right. Cool, you're bringing it. Like, you know what I mean? But then I just saw you retweeted the story we just talked about before we got you on, about Walker Buehler, who's like, all right, see you guys later. I'm off to Florida to go work at Cressy Sports Performance instead of working with Mark Pryor and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I'm assuming have every single gizmo gadget metric that one could ever want.
Well, I think one part is that it would be – it's a little difficult, I think, sometimes to really revamp anything or work on stuff in a competitive environment. So it would have been hard for him to do it between starts with Mark Pryor,
right,
on the Dodgers. I guess you could IL him, but then you technically are supposed to send him to somewhere. You know, it's rare to IL someone and he stays with the Dodgers.
Right.
You know, so maybe his choice was, do I go down to Oklahoma City, you know, and work with people there, or do I go work with Eric Cressy? And I think the modern player is also empowered by the fact that there's all these independent labs, pitching labs now,
yeah,
that they have their own contractual arrangements with, and they can maybe feel some ownership over their own coaching, you know, by doing this. So they can go to Dryland, they can go to Tread, they can go to Cressy, and they feel like they are getting what they want. And when I've talked to people that are coaches or people in front offices about this, they struggle with it. You know, they're annoyed because they would rather the player got the coaching that they want them to get.
Right.
they think they know the right coaching. And there's different approaches to how to deal with that. Some front offices do something that's kind of cool. I talked to one front office. They said, oh, we don't love Teacher Man. Teacher Man's the guy who's Aaron Judge's
coach. I've heard a lot about that guy, man.
Oh my God. He's so arrogant.
He's so arrogant.
I think he really has like one good idea, but I don't think he has every good idea, you know? And it worked for Judge. Doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody else. Judge is pretty unique in terms of, you know, size,
quickness,
athleticism, strength. Yeah. So, you know, so somebody was working with them and they didn't really love everything, but what they did was they had their hitting coach take Teacher Man's course. So they knew what Teacher Man was about and what he talked about. So he could speak Teacher Man's language to this player. They invited Teacher Man to spring to talk to the player and to other players and just made it seem like, hey, we're cool with him. If that's what you believe and that's what you're into, like, we're gonna support you in that. But when the kid went through a stretch where he was 0 for 20 or something, he was a little more receptive to their own coach.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And so they wanted, that's the struggle right now, is like, how do I make it cool for you to go to Eric Cressy, but also I want you to listen to Mark Pryor. That's kind of the line people are walking right now.
Smart Baseball with Eno Saris every Thursday here with Ben and Woods. And I think when we talk about the numbers, Eno, and you've kind of mentioned this before, and so for some people, it's too much. They get overwhelmed by all the stats, and they say, I just want to go by feel. But your brain fools you. If you throw a good pitch, if you throw a pitch and someone swings and misses, your brain's going to tell you, I just threw a good pitch. But you don't know that that's true.
That's absolutely
the batter may have just taken a bad swing at it for no reason whatsoever. And the numbers will actually kind of tell you which pitches are the better ones if you can take your brain out of the equation sometimes. Is that really what the statistical revolution here in baseball is about?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think the opposite is the one that's really happens even more, which is that a pitcher throws a pitch that's pretty good, but one of the first times he throws it, someone yanks it for a homer. And then they never throw that pitch again. And you're like, dude, that is a pretty good pitch. And that's why it can be good to have something like Stuff Plus and be like, look, this curve like ranks the best. Here are the comps. You know, oh, this curve looks like this guy's curve and this guy. Those guys' curves are good, right? Like, throw it again, please, you know? So there's some of that, there's also some of, like, when a player is really struggling and you can come to them and say, hey, you know what? You're barreling the ball. Your barrel rate is on par with this guy's. Your exit velocities are fine. Like, you just need to chill out, and like the hits will come, you know. So the numbers can do a lot of different things. They don't have to be overwhelming. They don't have to be negative. One thing that I do think is, as a fan, I don't begrudge anybody their opinion about how they want to consume the sport. I understand that, and I think that the best broadcast teams, the best shows, try to really meld, you know, what is happening on the field, what has happened historically, the stories. People love stories from back in the day. And then just sort of gently fold in some of the stats so that you don't necessarily have to report the exit velocity on every homer. But if somebody tonight hit the hardest hit homer of the year or ever for the Padres or something, that's when you sort of say it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do it for every single one. You don't have to really shoehorn it in. These numbers are supposed to tell a story, you know?
It's interesting, too. I was watching, I think it was the, something on Apple TV, maybe. I can't remember, but Franchi was on there, and he kept calling people that like stats in baseball pencil necks the whole night. Oh, those are those pencil necks. Pencil neck stats. Pencil necks. I'm like, all right, this is a huge broadcast featuring two great teams. Pencil neck, pencil neck, pencil neck. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And he's not an old guy. I mean, he's not, you know, this isn't Goose Gossage here. And I'm listening to this going, all right, now there needs to be more of a happy medium. You know, there really does.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I don't know if you had heard that.
Yeah, I think Mud does a great, I think they do a great
they
job. Mud and Don do a great job. And they're not the nerdiest that I've ever had. You know, one of my favorite broadcasters is John Miller.
He's
not like a big stat guy, but I also love Boogs Giambi.
Yes.
You know, the Cubs, and he folds more stats in, you know, Jason Benetti with the White Sox. So, there are different ways to be great, just like there are different ways to be great as a baseball player. And that's why I like these stats, is because you can highlight so many different cool things about a player.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's like one of the five fastest players in the big leagues, you know, this guy. And you can do it a little bit more precision, I think, than without it. And I don't know. You can also just express regret at like the way that baseball has become very sort of walk in a blast, you know, sort of,
yeah,
you know, more outcomes. Focused on power and we've, you know, 3-2 outcomes. Like that has come from analysis, but my retort is, you know, that's not the analyst's fault. They're just trying to help their team win the game.
Right.
It's not the pencil neck's fault. They're working for teams and trying to help players get better. That's my passion, is player development. You know, trying to help players get better. They're trying to help their team win. the if you don't like where this is going, then you should be pro the kind of rule changes that baseball is making.
100%.
That's the reason they're making those rule changes, is to incentivize teams to want the single again.
Eno, enjoy your All-Star break. We'll chat with you again as we get the second half started, and we always appreciate everything you've done. First half of the season was great. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you not next week. We'll give you the week off.
Yes.
Yeah, week off.
The first week of the second half, we'll have you back in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Unless we get in a pinch.
Then we'll just call you.
Keep your phone on.
Still might get a text. We'll see.
Eno Saris, Smart Baseball, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.